I'm Paul Harris, filling in for McGraw. Thank you for listening. Happy to welcome to our guest microphone, State Senator Jeff Smith, a Democrat who represents the 4th District, which is that entirely in South City?
You know, I've actually got more North City than South City.
Okay.
I got about 60% of the population of North St. Louis and about 40% of the population of South St. Louis.
All right. Well, it's nice to see you again.
Good to see you, too. Good morning.
We ran across each other in Las Vegas not long ago. You were out there for a meeting of progressive Democrats. You had lunch with my friend David Sirota.
Yes.
While you were out there, and you and a bunch of other politicians were getting together and talking about the progressive agenda for 2009, and we're only 23 days into the year. How's it going?
You know, it's going pretty well. From a Missouri-specific, obviously it's going very well from a national perspective. Obama, I thought President Obama gave a great speech on Tuesday and, you know, laid out an agenda which I think constitutes a real break from the last 8 years. Wasn't shy about saying as much, even with President Bush just 30 feet from him or whatever. So that was interesting. Here, from a more Missouri-specific perspective, we're feeling much better as legislative Democrats because now we have a governor with a veto pen. The last couple of years in the Senate and in the House, whatever the Republicans pass, you knew was probably going to get signed by the governor.
Yeah.
Now we have a lot more leverage at the negotiating table.
How tough is it to be in the minority in the legislature, to be working on things and look across the aisle and they're just shaking their heads?
Well, you know, in some respects, it's difficult. But on the other hand, it's really, I think, a good lesson in learning how to give a little and how to compromise. We're outnumbered right now in the state Senate 23-11. So if you don't have some Republican co-sponsors for your bills and you don't have, you know, support across the aisle, you're not going to get anything done. So, you know, I have a district that has a lot of needs. We have some of the poorest census tracts in the state. We have some of the most violent areas of the state. We also have some incredible neighborhoods and some real, you know, thriving communities and neighborhood organizations. So we have a real mix. But the key is I've got to bring things home for my district. I got to get some things done. And so I've got to learn to work with the other side and try to do that as best as I could the last 2 years.
And you were literally on the streets of your district on Monday on Martin Luther King Day. President Obama said, you know, the day before he became president, let's make it into a day of national service. And you were out there cleaning up the streets. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the last couple of years, we've done an annual cleanup of Martin Luther King Boulevard on his birthday to sort of honor his legacy. We figure what better way to honor him than try to beautify the street that bears his name. So we originally planned to have 50 or 60 people go up there and do that. But we ended up having nearly 300 people. So we were able to clean not just Martin Luther King, the length of the entire city, but also Page, Union, Goodfellow, King's Highway.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a wonderful day.
Very nice. Now let's talk about the city in particular and what you as a state legislator can do about that. Because I was just talking about this on the show yesterday, that I see education as the key to saving any American city, because cities can only thrive if families live there and families don't move into a city whose school district is struggling. And we have a school district in the city of St. Louis that is now unaccredited and continues to fight budget and funding problems year in and year out. What can you do to fix that problem from Jeff City?
Well, there's a few things we can do. Number one, we can do things such as we did 2 years ago. We passed a bill that I had originally sponsored called the Missouri Teaching Fellows Program. This program modeled a little bit after the National Teach for America program, and what it does is it makes a deal with graduating high school seniors in the state of Missouri. It says if you're in the top 10% of your class and you'll agree to stay in Missouri and go to college, then the state of Missouri will forgive 1 year of your college tuition loans for each year after college that you'll teach in an unaccredited school district like St. Louis City. So it'll accomplish a few different things. Number one, it'll keep some of the best and brightest, you know, 18-year-olds here in Missouri instead of going to college on the East Coast or the West Coast. Number two, it'll help relieve some of the huge debt burden on a lot of kids who are going to college. You know, a lot of them come out where I teach at Wash U with six figures of debt. So forgiving their college loans will help them a lot. Third, and I think most important, it'll bring some of the brightest young minds to teach in the schools where the needs are the most acute, places like St. Louis City. So we were able to pass that a couple of years ago, and that's one thing that we can do at the state level to, you know, help subsidize some of the brightest young people to be able to make a career choice that isn't always the most lucrative, but can be the most rewarding.
You know, I'm the son of two educators, so anything that helps get more teachers, particularly good teachers, into schools, I'm in favor of it. But I got to ask you about charter schools. Obama has been in favor of it and worked in Chicago to get charter schools up and running there. But everywhere across the country that charter schools try to get rolling, and we have a few in St. Louis, they run into an obstacle called the teachers union.
Yes.
What's the story with charter schools, not just in downtown St. Louis, but throughout Missouri?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Paul. And it's one that's personal to me. My first job out of college was working in St. Louis public schools, and I was an evaluator, so I got to go to schools throughout the district and see things that were working and see things that weren't working. Unfortunately, there were a lot of things that weren't working, and the systems were not in place to really fix a lot of those things. And I ended up co-founding a group of public charter schools called the Confluence Academies here in St. Louis. Started with one school 6 years ago, about 200 kids our first year. This year we've got four schools with 2,700 kids.
Wow.
So we've really flourished, you know, grown over almost 14-fold in just 6 years. The results of charter schools in St. Louis and in Kansas City as well, which are the two places in Missouri that they're allowed, results have been mixed so far. There are a few that have not done very well, others that have really grown and flourished. At Confluence, for example, our African-American kids in middle school have higher test scores in math than African-American kids at any school in the state. Mm. So we've had some successes. We're not doing as well as we'd like to do, but we have had some significant successes. I think, as you alluded to, you have a lot of opposition from the teachers' unions. They are pretty much unalterably opposed to charter schools, and that's we don't view ourselves as being against the public schools. We view it as being a friendly competition. We hope they do well. We'd love to replicate their successes, and we hope that they would look to replicate ours.
How do you create that success among the African-American kids or any of them who are at your school? What makes your charter school different? I realize I'm giving you a commercial opportunity here, but I'm serious when I ask that question, because for a lot of people, they hear about, okay, charter schools. We've got a thriving private school industry in the St. Louis area. We've got very good public schools in some of the suburbs here. Why do we need charter schools? What makes them successful?
One thing that makes them successful is they can have curriculum that are very specific and very specialized. We try to do what we can to really focus on, you know, the core areas of math, science, and literacy. We also do character education every day in the classroom. So we have a pretty stringent sort of discipline regime. And, you know, everyone wears school uniforms. Kids are in school for about 2 hours longer every day than in the regular public schools, and over a month longer every school year. So just simply time on task is a lot greater at our schools over the course of a school year than the regular public schools. A second thing that's important about that is the fact that studies have shown that the overwhelming majority of the achievement gap between affluent suburban kids and poorer inner city kids is not so much due to what happens during the school year, but is due to the huge loss that happens with inner city kids over the course of a 3.5 month summer. Kids in affluent suburban environments are continuing to get stimulation, you know, throughout the summer. They're getting tennis lessons. They're going to violin lessons. They're going to the zoo. They're getting all types of opportunities to keep expanding their brain. That's not always the case with inner city kids. So keeping them in school longer every day and in school longer over the course of the year is important.
But are
the third thing that's important. Sorry. That's okay. The third thing that's important is we're able to pay our teachers more than the regular public schools. We have a streamlined bureaucracy, you know, almost no bureaucracy at all. And so more of that money gets to the classroom. We pay higher teacher salaries. We think that gives us a broader and even more talented applicant pool. So,
but are the kids who are coming to Confluence or other charter schools, are they
a different type of kids? Are we taking the cream of the crop? Is that kind of your question?
Not the kids being the cream of the crop, but are they coming from families that are more committed to education, which I think is the key to success for any child. If you've got parents or even a parent who makes education the number one priority for any child, that gives them a giant boost.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the parents at our schools and at any charter school have made a choice. They've signed a piece of paper and said, I'd like something different than the regular public schools. That doesn't necessarily mean that that means absolutely that the parents have taken the time to make that choice. it doesn't mean that they're, you know, substantially different from a socioeconomic or cultural perspective than the kids in the regular public schools. About 94% of our kids are free and reduced lunch kids. In St. Louis public schools, the number is about 80%. So we have a significantly actually poorer population than St. Louis public. Our average kid comes to our school reading at about 2.5 years below grade level. So we're working with, you know, the same types of kids, and actually we get a lot of kids that have been failing in the regular public schools and then come to us. So we have to do a lot of remedial work in the same fashion that they do.
How do you straddle the line between a person helping to run or founding and running Confluence Academy,
mm-hmm.
and being a state legislator? Is some of the money from Jefferson City flowing into the academy?
Well, we are funded on a per capitation basis the same way that any public school is. Mm-hmm. So if we don't get kids to go to our schools and we don't put out a quality product that parents want, mm-hmm. then we won't get any funding. Mm-hmm. We won't have any students. As I said, we've almost doubled every single year, almost doubled our size, and mm-hmm. we have wait lists in most of our grades. So mm-hmm. going from 200 to 2,700 kids means that we've gotten more funding from the state each year.
But you haven't introduced a bill saying charter schools should get a lot more money.
No, I mean, and obviously I give a lot of time and resources to the school. I don't have any, I don't derive any financial benefit from it, but I do want to see our school succeed. No, I haven't introduced any bill to increase the funding for charter schools, but I do think that they should be able to compete on an equal playing field with the regular public schools. Sometimes you'll hear the teachers union or other people who are opposed to charter schools say, well, they don't have to adhere to the same regulations that we do. That's why they could do better. The one regulation that we don't have to adhere to that they do is not 100% of our teachers do not have to be certified. Only 80% do.
Mm-hmm.
That said, far more than 80% of our teachers have been certified. Over 90% have been, whereas St. Louis public schools have been closer to that 80% mark because they have a significant proportion of teachers who are teaching under emergency certification. So the one thing where they argue that we don't have to do what they have to do, they're not actually doing it at the same percentages that they're supposed to by law. In any case, there's no knock on the public schools. I've visited 45 different St. Louis public schools since I've been elected. It's my favorite thing to do is visit schools and talk to kids about, the legislative process, hear their ideas. In fact, my favorite thing to do is I have all the kids in the class write down what they think is their best legislative idea, you know, how we should change policy. And then each year I try to sponsor one bill that reflects the idea of a student that I've met.
Cool. All right. We'll talk more with State Senator Jeff Smith from right here in St. Louis City. When we come back in a moment here with more of the McGraw Show, I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in from McGraw, sitting here talking with State Senator Jeff Smith. He represents the 4th District in St. Louis City in the state legislature in Jefferson City. And you guys are actually in session now already, right, for the year?
We are. I mean, I'm not skipping work or anything today, but
today's a day off?
Yeah, we go Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have meetings back in our district usually on Fridays.
Gotcha. We were talking about you being involved in lots of things in the community. One of my favorite things that you do every year is this 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And you won't mind my saying that you are not a basketball height.
I am not, but I have played my whole life.
Yeah.
And I like to think that maybe I've surprised a few people.
I hear you. This is what I hear about you, Jeff. I hear that you surprise people with your speed and your accuracy from the field.
Well, expectations are low when you're my height, so it's a low bar to get over. But no, we have a great event. We had over 2,000 people come out last year. About 600 people play, and then about 1,500 people came out and just partook in the events of the day. We have about 75 different nonprofits come. In addition to being a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, it's a health fair and sort of a broad community fair where we emphasize health and literacy. So we have free books and backpacks and school supplies for every kid who comes out. We do dental screenings, vision screenings, STD screenings, just a chiropractor on site, you know, working people out and doing all types of stuff that, you know, there's just a whole myriad of services that people can take advantage of there in addition to free food, brand new bicycles for 15 kids who are on the winning teams in every age division. Six Flags tickets, Cardinals tickets, concert tickets. It's a fun day.
And when will it be this year?
It'll be the last Saturday of July is when we always have it. And this year we're going to have, Nelly co-sponsors it with me and he helps out. We're going to have a couple former NBA players who are going to be out. So it should be a good time. And my team, We did not win last year. And
How deep did you go?
You know, we got to the quarters. Mm-hmm. Got to the quarterfinals. But, you know, the guy I had to guard was like 6'6", 260. And given that I'm 5'5", 120, it was a tough tough game. I was bruised for about 3 weeks after that.
Now, the first time I became aware of you was thanks to a documentary that came out several years ago called Can Mr. Smith Even Get to Washington Anymore? A play on the old Jimmy Stewart movie, and of course with your name being Jeff Smith, and that was his character's name in that movie, there was a logical connection there. It was a documentary about your attempt to become the congressman, United States congressman, from your district, a seat that was eventually won by Russ Carnahan because of the name and the Democratic political machine that the Carnahan name brings with it. Now, since that's how I first knew you, and since then you have become a state senator, and in the last week, we have heard that Senator Kit Bond has announced that he will not be running for re-election next year. I would not be doing my job here, Jeff, if I didn't ask you, are you going to run for Senate next year?
Nope.
Did you think about it?
I mean, you know, anytime an office comes open, you kind of that you've always dreamed about, you know, sure. I mean, the thought might cross your mind, but I'm not in a position, you know, to run for United States Senate. I don't have the name ID. I don't have the fundraising capacity to raise that type of money.
In other words, the machine won't be behind you?
Obviously, the machine would not be behind me. It will probably be behind Secretary of State Robin Carnahan. And I.
Well, those Carnahans, they get in your way every single time, Jeff.
Well, we won't comment on that. But I think Robin's done a spectacular job as Secretary of State. I hope and expect that she does run, and if she does, I will plan to support her and stump for her vigorously. You know, I didn't have anything personally against the Carnahans. It was a 10-way primary that I ran in the 2004 race. It's a great experience. We ended up having 550 volunteers, you know, and really, I think, energizing the city and the county with a new brand of grassroots politics. And it's been wonderful to see so many of the people that got their start on my campaign go on and help out Obama in his primary and then in the general election.
Did you get any royalties from the movie?
I do not.
No?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. So, yeah, it's
a terrific movie, though. As I've told you, I put it on my website, harrisonline.com. I've got a list of movies you might not know. And this is one of the movies that has been on there since the first time I saw it on DVD. I think it's terrific.
Yeah, the filmmaker, Frank Popper, he did a great job with it. You know, it was perhaps a bit more candid than I might have preferred.
Yeah, there were a couple of things in there where I thought, ooh, I bet he wishes the camera wasn't on right now.
Yeah, there are definitely some junctures of the movie where every fourth or fifth word out of my mouth starts with an S, and it would probably not be suitable for family viewing in light of that. But, you know, campaigns are tough business sometimes.
Yeah.
Emotions, you know, run high and run low. They're real roller coasters. And so definitely some people, you know, myself included, you know, got a little angry at different junctures of the movie. But I think it's a wonderful depiction of how young people can get involved in politics, really people of all ages, and really make a difference going door to door, you know, talking to their friends, hosting house parties and coffees. That was how we did it. And that's how I did it in my Senate race as well.
Yeah, it's a pretty good primer on local politics. It's called Can Mr. Smith Even Get to Washington Anymore? And it's all about Jeff Smith's campaign for Congress.
And to be fair, it's also about the media and the way that, no offense, Paul, because I think you do a great job, but I think sometimes the media abdicates their responsibility to really raise substantive issues. Instead, they'd prefer to focus on who's got the name, who's got the most money, you know, superficial issues that really don't get at the meat of what we're dealing with here in society. At a time when we've got such economic turbulence and, you know, turmoil abroad, I think the media owes it to do a better job of really investigating issues in depth as opposed to just, you know, the how good Barack Obama may or may not look without a shirt on or, you know, some of the more trivial things that they tend to cover. So it was about that. It was about the huge role of money in politics and some problems with the system. In addition, if it were just about my campaign, it wouldn't have gotten a national audience, you know, the way it has.
True.
It's about a lot of, I think, serious problems with our electoral system.
Well said. Senator Jeff Smith here on the Paul Harris Show, or it's not my show anymore. It used to be years ago. It's the McGraw Show now. I'm just filling in. You're on the Big 550 KTRS. More after this.